I think all the parts were singing tonight, and that's great. And we appreciate all of you that are here. And David, thank you for leading those great songs. And some of those are songs that we don't traditionally sing, but very beautiful songs. Songs that remind us, no doubt, of that beautiful home that God is making preparation for regarding His children. You know, in the life of Jesus, there were a lot of things that happened that we are not privy to, but I'm thankful that there are so many things that took place in the Lord's life and in His daily routine of things, and He did have a routine. If you go back to Scripture, you will find that to be true. He certainly was accustomed to going into the synagogue on the Sabbath, a lot of things Jesus did. But one of the most memorable events, no doubt, that could have ever occurred in the life of Jesus takes place in the book of Mark, in the fifth chapter. You remember it was in that chapter where Jesus had cast the demonic spirit into swine and they rushed out into the ditch and died. Well, shortly after that, Jesus had crossed over to the other side of the sea. And the Bible says, behold, beginning in verse 22, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue. His name was Jairus. You don't read about him too much in the Bible, but he was a ruler of the synagogue. And when he saw Jesus, he fell down at his feet. And he besought him, saying, that my little daughter lieth at the point of death. We know, as we read on here, that this little girl was about 12 years of age. And he said, I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and that she may live. And Jesus went with him, and many people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, now notice this, right in the midst of this particular setting, something else takes place. Now this was an important thing to Jesus, because when Jairus comes to him seeking that he might go to his house, Jesus is en route. He's getting ready to go. Jesus did not delay. He immediately begins to follow him. And in pursuit of going to the house of Jairus, the Bible just inserts a little thing here, and it's not really parenthetically, but it is inserted here, and it really is an important event. It says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many of the physicians, had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard that Jesus came in the press behind, she touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she had been healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that his virtue, power had gone out of him here, turns to him and turns to the press and says, who touched my clothes? Now, that's not to say that Jesus was not aware of this woman who was behind him who touched his garments. But Jesus, no doubt, was trying to get the reaction of others who were standing by. And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and you say to me, who toucheth me? You see, Jesus was trying to get them to understand that he knew who it was. They didn't know. Well, all they could see was this mass group of people standing by, and they were watching for Jesus to come. And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Again, Jesus was aware of it. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. We don't ever read of this woman again. We don't ever find it anywhere. Now, we do know that in that case of Jairus, that following this particular event here of this woman who touched the garment of Jesus, that Jesus, even though he had been delayed by this situation, went on to the house of Jairus, and he goes into the house with the mother and father, and he raises this little 12-year-old girl from her deathbed. and he tells them to go get her something to eat. Now, I'm not really interested so much tonight in talking about Jairus. We've had a lot of lessons, no doubt, on this particular subject. But there is something here in this story that is very intriguing, and it is about this woman who touched the garment of Jesus. You probably have heard other people make statements like that. Well, you know, if I could only touch the garment of Jesus. Jesus talked about what great faith this woman has. If there is anything to be understood through this text, it has to be this, that hurting people are looking for two things. They are looking, number one, for help. But number two, they are looking for hope. Isn't that what we all search for in life? Help and hope. It is true. Now let me share with you quickly three things that I think that are important to understanding all of this and what Christ wants us to know regarding this story. And that's the reason it is preserved for us. You know, think about all the things that Jesus did are not recorded. John 20, 30 and 31 says, but these things are written that you might believe, and believing you might have life through his name. So obviously Jesus understood that this was an important lesson to knowing who he is and to having life eternal. Well, first of all, we need to give hurting people the addition of our presence. Jesus did not blow this woman off. He did not shove her away. He was in pursuit to help another man who was in distress. There was a young girl who was about to die at the moment that Jairus sought him. And we know that she did eventually die, as was the case even of Lazarus when Mary and Martha had sent for Jesus to come. He was alive, but because Jesus delayed and waited according to the word of God and did not get to Bethany in time, Lazarus died. But we know then, like in this case, he raised him from the dead. But if Jesus teaches us anything at all, is that we need to give hurting people the addition of our presence as well as our prayers. You know, how important is it for us to be present when people are hurting? I think it's extremely important. And I think Christ focused in on it as well. This woman needed the help, and she believed that Jesus could cure her. Now think about what's going on in this woman's life. She had had a continual hemorrhaging disorder, 12 years, 52 weeks a year. You can imagine what weakened condition this woman was in. She had been in the care of physician after physician. And we're told, according to the Talmud, that there were about 11 different types of cures that they would employ to alleviate this problem with this woman, but none of them worked. The Bible even says that she spent all of her living on the physician. Sometimes maybe we feel that we have done the same thing, huh? But think about it. This woman is broke. She has no Affordable Health Care Act. She has no Obamacare. She has no Blue Cross Blue Shield. No HMO. And she didn't get better. She just got weaker. She needed compassion. She needed someone to say, I feel with you and for you. That's what she needed. You know, some of the greatest words that ever fall from the lips of fellow Christians are people who have friends are standing by, as I mentioned this morning, to give other people hope and to encourage them with our words. If you were to stop and think right now, there's probably someone in your life right now who needs to know that you are caring for them. It is true. Some people don't know. I know we take it for granted. We say, well, they know that I care, do they? When was the last time you really voiced it to them? This little woman could be someone in your neighborhood, in the church, maybe just simply an acquaintance, and they need the addition of your presence as well as your prayers. But there's another thing they need, and I think Jesus understood that, and that's why he stopped to help her. They need the attention of our mind. Now, in this story in Mark 5:21, as Jairus here is really concerned, and you know, you have to wonder what's going through his mind when this woman delays him from getting to the house to perhaps lay hands on his young daughter that she might live. Jesus got off the boat and he went over to where the crowd was, and this ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, is employing the services of Jesus. Let me tell you something about Jairus. He was a ruler of the Jews, and traditionally this meant that he was the most important man in town. He was. And so when the crowd saw that Jairus had come near, they immediately start backing away, because now Jesus belonged to Jairus. He didn't belong to the crowd. But this woman still believed, even though he's talking to Jairus. And she sees this tremendous crowd. She's just thinking, if I could just get up close enough to touch the hem of his garment, then I could be healed. Because she knew that Jesus was one who offered those two things that we seek, help and hope. And isn't that true? In the book of Acts 10, verse 38, the Bible says that Jesus went about doing good. You know, we get so busy in our life. We really do. That we do not take time for the important things in life. Let me share with you a quick story that I read the other day. It's about a young man who learned what was most important in life from a man next door. It had been a little time since Jack had seen the old man, college girls, his career, and life itself got in the way. In fact, Jack moved clear across the country in his pursuit of his dreams, like a lot of people do. And there, in the rush of his busy life, Jack had little time to think about the past and often no time to spend with his wife and his son. He was working on his future, and nothing could stop him now. And over the phone, he told his mother he loved her. And she said, "Oh, by the way, I want you to know that Mr. Belcher died last night, and the funeral is on Wednesday." Memories immediately flashed through his mind like an old newsreel as he had sat quietly recalling his childhood years. She said, "Jack, did you hear me?" "Oh, I'm sorry, Mom." He said, "Yes, I heard you, but it had been so long since I'd even thought about Mr. Belcher. But I honestly thought that he died years ago," Jack said. "Well, he didn't forget you," she said. "Every time I saw him, he'd ask how you were doing. He'd reminisce about many days that you spent over on his," as he called it, "the side of the fence." Jack said, "I loved that old house that he lived in. You know, Jack, after your father died, Mr. Belcher stepped in to make sure you had a man's influence in your life," she said. "Why, he's the one who taught me about carpentry," he said, "and I wouldn't be in this business if it were not for him. He spent a lot of time teaching me things he thought were important, Mom, and I'll be there at the funeral," Jack said. As busy as he was, he kept his word, and Jack actually caught the next flight to his hometown. Mr. Belcher's funeral was small and uneventful because he had always been unassuming. He had no children of his own, and most of his relatives had passed away. The night before he had to return home, Jack and his mom stopped by to see the old house next door one more time. And standing in the doorway, Jack paused for a moment. It was like crossing over into another dimension, a leap through time and space. The house was exactly as he reminisced, and every step held memories. Every picture, every piece of furniture. Jack stopped suddenly, and his mom said, "What's wrong, Jack?" And he said, "The box. Why, the box is gone." And the mom said, well, what box? He said there was a small gold box that he kept locked on the top of his desk. I must have asked him about that 1,000 times. And I always ask him what's inside. All he'd ever tell me was that it was the thing that I value most. And Jack said it was gone. Everything about the house was exactly how Jack remembered it, except for the box. He figured someone from the Belcher family had taken it. Now, I'll never know what was so valuable to Mr. Belcher. Jack said, I better get some sleep. I have an early flight home, Mom. It had been about 2 weeks since Mr. Belcher died. And returning home from work one day, Jack discovered a note in his mailbox. Signature required on a package. No one at home. Please stop by the main post office. Within the next 3 days, the note read. And early the next day, Jack retrieved the package. The small box was old and looked like it had been mailed 100 years ago. The handwriting was difficult to read, but the return address actually caught his attention. For the return address said, Mr. Harold Belcher. Jack took the box out to his car, ripped open the package. Then inside was, in the gold box, was an envelope. Jack's hand shook as he read the note inside. It said, upon my death, please forward this box and its contents to Jack Bennett. It's the thing that I valued most in my life. A small key was taped to the letter. His heart was racing as tears began to fill his eyes. Jack carefully unlocked the box, and there inside he found a beautiful gold pocket watch of all things. And running his fingers slowly over the finely etched watch, he unlatched the cover. Inside he found these words engraved, Jack, thanks for your time, Harold Belcher. You see, the thing that he valued most was his time. There are times when we need to give of our time. That's what Jesus did. And in this setting, Jesus took time for this woman. Jesus knew that the power had gone out of him. He could have kept walking, but he didn't. He had a busy schedule like everybody else, and we all say at times, well, I'm too busy. I'll try to get around to doing that. But for some reason or another, we wait until it's too late. Jesus said, who touched me? He said, I'm not going anywhere until I give my wholehearted attention to this woman. When was the last time that you took a moment to write a letter to someone who was hurting? Showing your concern. Or you sent a card. Or you visited the sick. That's part of our Monday night for the Master Program. We give people an opportunity to do that. Because, you know, most of the time, if we don't set aside a time to do it, we don't do it. We got good intentions. But we don't get around to doing it. That's why I hope you'll be here tomorrow night. You know, time has a way of escaping us, even with all of our best intentions. No promise of tomorrow. My good friend Melvin Whitaker found that out this afternoon when he died with a heart attack today. Little did he know when he got up this morning and went to church that this would be his last day upon this earth. But it was. death doesn't come when it's convenient for us. Death comes when we least expect it. But there's a third thing, last of all. We need to give people not only our presence, ourselves, and our time, but we need to give them the affection of our heart. You know, there are two things that never happened before this story and never happened after that are recorded in this text. Jesus healed a woman before he ever met her. Before he ever knew her. Jesus never hesitates to help. Sometimes we see hurting people and we say, I don't have time. We'll let someone else take care of that one, or we'll let someone else get involved in that. He never thought at how much time it would take or how much money it would cost. So it's the first time that Jesus ever healed anyone before he knew them. But there's a second thing. It's the only time in all of the life of Jesus that he ever called a woman daughter. Now, the word daughter is more than just a word. For in biblical times, that word daughter actually was a term of affection and great love. All she had ever heard was for 12 years was unclean. You're nothing. You're unclean. Or she had been the recipient of disgusting looks by others in society. She was the only person who received a commendation and got healed in the same day because she reached out to Jesus. And that's what this lesson is really all about. Reach out or get left out. Do you realize that you and I have a spiritual blood problem? We do. And every one of us stand tonight in need of a blood transfusion from Jesus flowing through our spiritual veins. Some time ago, a teenager named Arthur Hinckley lifted a 3,000-pound tractor with his bare hands. He wasn't a weightlifter, but his friend, Lloyd Johnson, 18, was pinned under a tractor on a farm near Rome, Maine. Hearing Lloyd scream, Arthur somehow lifted that tractor enough for Lloyd to wiggle out. And you say, what caused him to do that? He was motivated by love. You see, our Father in heaven heard the screams of lost humanity, crying out for deliverance. And he sent his one and only precious Son to the cross so that our sins could be lifted off of us onto himself. Love was the motivation, and it should be ours. When we see others in this world who are hurting, don't turn a deaf ear. Don't close your eyes. Reach out. Reach out to those because they need you. Tonight, as a Christian, let me challenge you this week to reach out to someone who needs you to really be a Christian. Don't let it just be something you say or that you verbalize. But let it be seen. As the song says, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. If you're not a Christian tonight, we challenge you to follow in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus, who taught us how to live by coming tonight to follow him through the waters of baptism, to be raised to that newness of life that only our Savior can give while we stand and while we sing.